It's beautiful, it's lush, it's green, there's just wonderful trees everywhere, there's water flowing through it. There's great views everywhere on all of it. It's very Instagrammable.
Hello, my name's Ellen, and my blind dog Jed and I are walking the Kintyre Way. The walk covers 100 miles across the Kintyre Peninsula, taking in beaches, forestry, moors and ancient woodland, and promises heart-swelling views for me and mind-blowing smells for Jed. This podcast will take you through the walk section by section, including conversations along the way. Details of the walk, accommodation, transport, maps and step-by-step guides can be found at thekintyreway.com. This episode is sponsored by Iffordale Bunkhouse, a working family farm in the heart of the idyllic Saddle Glen and surrounded by fabulous beaches. It offers immaculately renovated steedings as self-catering accommodation for 2 to 14 guests. You can find out more about Iffordale at iffordalefarm.co.uk. Section 5, Carriedale to Campbelltown. Distance 22 miles, time 7 to 10 hours, suitable for walking, running and cycling. Jed and I are going to tackle this in two separate stints, stopping in Saddle and getting the bus back into Campbelltown. But you can do the whole thing in one day pretty easily. It's a long section, but it's not too taxing. From the Carriedale Network Centre in the Blackbird Tea Room, follow the waymarkers towards the caravan park down Sally's Walk. The information board at Waterford warns of tides, as part of this section is impassable at high tide, although there is an easy alternative route. The track brings you onto a vehicle track, overlooking the vast sandy beach of Carriedale Bay. Continuing along shore and grassy verges, the going is easy, but does require concentration as it's changeable underfoot. Jed and I have walked this section before, and it is slow going with a blind dog who protests at the very suggestion that he needs guiding. For the fit human though, it's not a bother and is particularly enjoyable for children as there are numerous rock pools and rock hopping opportunities. You come into Torresdale Estate, welcoming walkers to the next section, the Gin Tyre Way, a reference to the Ben and Turk gin distillery ahead. Follow the signposted track through the grounds of the castle and be sure to drop into the cafe for some well-earned refreshment before a bit of a climb to come. While at Torresdale, I caught up with a group of women who swim most mornings in Torresdale Bay. It's a relatively safe place to swim, being a sheltered bay which doesn't get deep very quickly, with all the usual caveats about no lifeguards, looking at the conditions, you know the drill. I tried to record the process, which was a little hit and miss, but I managed not to swear, so here's a taster.
So, we're at Torresdale Bay. The conditions are, I'd say, not ideal. I'm not gonna lie, it's really cold. But imagine this on a beautiful day when it's wavy. It's the sun. It's a bit wavy for my liking. So, on a beautiful day, you can sometimes share this bay with seals, the odd otter. But today, it's wavy. It's cold. But I'm supposed to be recommending this for everybody in Oceanwood. It's bracing at least, right? I've got the excellent excuse of wearing a microphone so I can't put my head under. But I am about to go in. 3, 2, 1.
It was at that point that a big wave came and got me and completely soaked the microphone, so the rest of the recording is just crackling. Torresdale Castle and Estate is owned and managed by Neil and Emma McAllister Hall. I met up with Emma to talk about the area.
I've swapped Jed for Crumble and Magnus, who are two dogs belonging to... Hello, who are you?
Hello!
I'm Emma McAllister Hall, which you know fine well. You've been here for years, but yeah, it's a lovely way to catch up. And we're walking along the Torresdale section of the Kintyre Way. Emma, you live in the castle, in Torresdale Castle.
Yes, I do, Ellen, that's correct. For the past 10 years.
Yeah. Torresdale Castle, not open to the public, of course, but there are plenty of other things to see and do around Torresdale State. Could you tell us quickly a little bit of history about how you came to live in a castle and also the castle itself?
Sure. So basically, I got married to somebody that owns a castle. So that was my first mistake. And yeah, so we moved back 10 years ago to take over from my in-laws, who quite rightly wanted to retire from all this nonsense because they were knackered. So we took over the self-catering business that they'd established. So we let out a castle apartment, two estate cottages, and then more recently we've built two very beautiful eco bothies.
Perfect places to have a little break when you're walking the Kintyre Way.
Indeed, yeah. So because obviously the Kintyre Way goes right through the estate, so you can see the castle as you stroll past in the distance.
Yes.
Respecting the curtilage of the house.
Or you'll get shouted at.
No, you won't. We're very friendly.
And this section of the Kintyre Way has a nickname, which is?
Yes. So we have renamed this section as the Gintyre Way.
Because
we're hilarious.
Because we're hilarious. Now, people, obviously living in a castle is the sort of fairy tale ideal, but what you're sort of saddled with is a massive money pit. Would that be...
That's accurate.
Would that be true?
Yeah, spot on, Ellen. So yeah. So Neil's relatives or ancestors that initially rented and then bought the castle were very, very wealthy and very self-made, I point out. Came from humble beginnings, but essentially were very wealthy. Bought the castle, bought the estate, and then one of them, in his wisdom, extended the castle, made it double the size. But then by the time you get to Neil's generation, to our current situation, all that family fortune's gone. And then you're left with a crumbling pile that needs a lot of repairs, particularly the roof, where all the issues start. Magnus, here, come on. Got the wee squirt. Good boy. Come on.
Oh, can I just ask? So we're just walking past a magnificent boar sculpture. It's... What's this?
So this is a new feature on the estate. We met through a local contact this wonderful Ukrainian sculptor who's obviously displaced because of what's happening. And he started sketching the wild boar. So basically, Benin Turk is the highest hill in Kintyre. It translates as Hill of the Wild Boar. So there's obviously strong boar connections, not being any real wild ones here, luckily. So he's created this amazing boar sculpture. He's incorporated elements of our gates that are at the castle entrance that have been restored by our lovely friend Simon, who's a friend of Igor, the sculptor. So yeah, and so there's lots of recycled metal in there as well.
It's extraordinary.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And he really kind of welcomes you coming up.
Yeah. So if I can try and describe it a little bit, it's sort of a hollow, big boar, sort of looking quite fearsome. Using bits of what looks like sort of scrap metal and kind of all tied together. Amazing.
He's so cool. He is very, very cool. Possibly the start of a sculpture park. Who knows?
Yes.
Things tend to go arms and legs. But
And also, we're also just walking past quite a significant tree.
Beautiful Monterey cypress.
In the distance we've just got. I don't know whether that's picking up.
But, it's like the M8 this morning.
Yeah, it's all going.
Very quiet, idyllic estate until you get...
Well, it's an estate that needs maintenance, which related. I think...
Yeah. So it's a working estate.
It's a working estate.
Yes, no, the tree, we reckon it was planted when the castle was built, which dates at 1815. And it's got the widest girth of its kind, at least in Scotland, possibly the UK. So it's a champion tree. It's been declared a champion. So it's very beautiful and lovely to hug, although you can't get your arms right around it.
And again, directly on the Kintyre Way. So these are all things that you'll pass without any detours. Sorry, I interrupted you when we were talking about the gym. So in order to keep the estate going, keep the castle in the family, Neil established a gin distillery.
So he did. So he's always been conscious that he was going to have to diversify significantly, even from the self-catering, which doesn't actually, it washes its face, but it doesn't then allow him to do anything significant to develop the estate. So the first innovation he did was actually to put in, well, he put in biomass heating in the castle, which is a huge innovation. But then he also put in hydropower. So we've got a hydroelectric scheme on the estate, which is 99 kilowatts and generates a really significant income. And that's been running since 2015. And the whole point of that was to then do the repairs, develop the, you know, make the castle watertight. But all that got shelved in favour of creating a gin distillery and basically making a product with our sustainable source of power. So that was the catalyst for then what became Benenturk, named after the Hill of the Wild Boar, Benenturk Distillery. So yeah, we've been making gin initially since 2017. We are now...
And really pioneering the sustainable elements.
Yeah, so I mean that was the...
You were in there right at sort of...
Well, that sort of informed the ethos of the whole business because of the clean source of energy. So we use hydropower to power the gin still and the distillery.
And this morning I joined the Torresdale Wild Swimmers to show another something else that you can do while walking the way. You're normally in with them. What is it about the wild swimming, particularly at Torresdale, that is so wonderful?
Well, it's something we got into. It just kind of happened sort of naturally about, oh gosh, it was 2016. It was a friend was swimming for charity every day in December and people were volunteering to accompany her. And I found myself saying, I'll come for swimming at Torresdale with you. It was the 8th of December. And then I immediately regretted it. I got in a bit of a state about doing it. I mean, I swim in the summer. I'd never swam in the winter. Anyway, I swam with her and didn't die. And then experienced the most amazing natural high that everyone goes on about. And it just was sort of an instant endorphin rush and felt brilliant. So why wouldn't you do it again? And then this kind of group just sort of naturally formed with people who wanted to do it as well. And so, yeah, so we swim. Try and swim most days, much as often as we can. I wimped out today. You didn't tell them that.
Well, it was a little bit rainy.
It was, well.
It was a little bit wet, but not
it was
windy
as well. I was only in for two minutes max.
And it's a wonderful place to swim because it's very safe. It doesn't sort of shelve suddenly. It's very sheltered. And it's generally very, very clear. Today it was very seaweedy, but that's just because it's been stormy. And there's been remarkably few jellyfish, which may be a worrying thing that there's not been many jellyfish, but I don't know, but it's been a blessing for us.
And Emma McAllister Hall, what is your favourite view that you can see from the Kintyre Way? It can be in your own section, of course.
Gosh, I don't know, all of it. I mean, the estate, it's kind of a bit Jurassic Park in a way. It's just sort of, you know, it's beautiful, it's lush, it's green, there's just wonderful trees everywhere, there's water flowing through it. There's great views everywhere on all of it. It's very Instagrammable.
Up from the cafe and distillery, you're past the distance marker, indicating you have reached the halfway point at 50 miles. Still further up, you'll cross the stream on a wooden bridge over the hydro scheme that provides the distillery with its electricity. Neil McAllister Hall told me a little bit about how it works.
We're back out in Torresdale. I'm here with, who are you?
I'm Neil McAllister Hall. I'm the owner of Torresdale, unfortunately for me.
Well, we've already spoken to Emma about the various diversification you've had to do in order to build a money pit that is owning a castle.
Yeah, indeed, it really is.
And one of the things that Emma mentioned was the hydro scheme.
Yep.
So we're just walking up to the, well, what are we walking up to?
Walking up to, well, So the hydro works, it's a run of river hydro, so and it works on a basis of if you've got water in the river it'll run, if you don't it won't. So there's no storage upstream, there's no reservoir or anything, basically runs over a screen, falls into a chamber or a sump, comes down a pressurized pipe, 1.2 kilometer run of pipe, which is 120 meters in height above us. So there's 12 bar of pressure coming through the turbine, and that drives the turbine, produces the power, and 90% of that goes to the national grid, and we use 10% for running the gin distillery and office.
And in terms of weather conditions, obviously if it's too dry, does that cause a problem?
Yeah, there's always, you'll see a notch over there by the screen, which is lower than the screen, so there's always water running through. So SEPA always have to have, or always insist you have water running down, and there's a certain calculation. You can then take anything on top of that. So if the water level is very low, there's been a dry spell for even 3 or 4 days, it'll slow right down and probably not run after that, it will shut down. So typically, June, May even, we don't usually get much electricity generated. July was exceptionally good this year for us, as in it was wet, not good for the holidaymaker. And then there can be too much water. Not too much that it wouldn't run, it'll run at full capacity, but you're obviously, oh, everything's going downstream that you're not managing to capture because your pipe's only so wide. It works out at about 40% of capacity we run at, which is pretty good for a hydro scheme.
So this provides the electricity for the gin distillery and the offices, is that right?
Yeah, we supply the distillery and the rest goes out to into the national network.
The flora and fauna around Torresdale, and of course all across the Kintyre Way, brings many treats and surprises. Ranger Steve from Torresdale Estate leads nature walks to show visitors some of what they can enjoy while walking the way.
I'll stop at the first passing place and just give a little bit of information, and then we'll do a loop around the lower end of the estate and come back here. So the estate, Torresdale Estate, runs to approximately 1,000 acres now. This area here, which has been recently clear felled, is owned by, I believe it's the son of the guy who tried to assassinate Hitler in the Valkyrie plot. We do still own, or Neil still owns, partway up the hill, and we've recently just put in an orchard. I think there's 300 and something trees up there, apple trees, just currently just saplings, so still getting established. Recently there was something digging up the roots. So there's like, there's Teram, like a weed suppressant membrane around the base of each little tree. And then deer fencing around the whole thing. And something was digging the roots up of the little apple trees, which obviously is not going to do them any good. And we assumed rabbits, but using a trail cam, it turned out that it was a fox. And he was digging up some of the roots of the apple trees and eating the roots. With them being such little saplings, I think the roots are still quite soft and sweet, and there have been instances elsewhere of foxes climbing apple trees to eat the apples off of the tree. They are omnivores, they will eat pretty much anything, which is why they're so successful. So quite a large area, well, bits of this estate are classed as temperate rainforest, which is an increasingly rare habitat in the country. So temperate rainforest is categorized by the species that live there, the climate, the ecosystem, the biodiversity that's in the area. Typically you would see things like plants classed as epiphytes, which are plants which grow on other plants but don't take anything from the host. So they're not a parasite. They just use, for example, well, we'll see in a minute as we walk down here, you see a lot of ferns growing on trees. These are polypody ferns, which translates basically as many feet, polypody, many feet. They have all these little runners that go out and anchor themselves to whatever they're on, whether it be stonework or a tree like this one here, for example. The main sort of threat to that habitat on here is rhododendron, which is spreading and has spread and is, you know, quite a big problem here. So we carry on down this way. There's a nice copper beech here. They're called Copper Beech, even though they're actually more of a purpley colour. I just came up here to see this tree. This is a bit of a crowd puller on the estate. So this is a Monterey cypress, Cupressus macrocarpa in Latin. Macrocarpa meaning many fingers. And you can see why in its tendency to grow in this particular shape. Native to California, but does well in this country. Loves being close to the coast where it gets the sort of salty air. This one is a champion tree, and it's classed as being a champion tree on its girth. So it's, in terms of its girth, it's the biggest in the country, I believe. And that one's about, I think, at the last time it was measured, it was 8.9 meters around the girth. This one here, the feathery looking one, is a black poplar. Feathery looking leaves, which in this area, I think this might be the only one in Kintyre. In here also, there are a few more champion trees in here. The ash here that we've just walked past there, that's a champion on height. We'll just skirt around the edge and then head back onto the track. Another owl box. So we put a few up around the estate, see if anything uses them. This big one here is a Morinda spruce, typically from the Himalaya, but seems to be doing very well here. Large one at the front. The one at the back there is a larch, which we might be able to see from around here. It's got a woodpecker hole in it, which the great spotted woodpecker used this year and successfully got a brood of chicks off. And the chicks are so loud you could hear them from here. By the end, just before the chicks fledged, the parents were feeding the chicks sort of 150 times a day, so back and forth, back and forth. The monkey puzzle tree, which the children really like. It's an impressive one. That's not actually a champion one. It's about 23 meters high, and they get to sort of 30, so yeah. It's got a fair way to go. This one here, actually behind you, is also a champion, even though you wouldn't think it. Same again. It's a holly, but it's really, really high for a holly. I've used trail cams in this area as well. We get kingfisher on the river here. Dippers, grey wagtails, which are nice little birds to see. The otter. Otter will come up and down these waterways. So on this track here recently, one of our residents reported seeing the white-tailed eagle, sea eagle, landing on the track to pick up the carcass of a dead rabbit just here. So it must have been quite a sight to see. Mm-hmm. It's quite surprising, actually. You just wouldn't, you know, it's quite an enclosed track, really. And there's only a small track. You would have thought the bird would be quite wary to land somewhere like this. But maybe if it saw that opportunity. We do have quite a few deer on the estate, which is why we have to put the deer fencing around the new orchard. So we have reds, seekers, roe deer, and I haven't seen fallow deer on here, but it's possible that they're here. Go this way. One of the easiest ways to identify the deer species is from the back end. I mean, typically they'd be running away from you anyway, so it's a good chance to just watch your footing on here. A bit slippery. So the roe deer has virtually no tail at all. The fallow deer has a very long tail with a thick black stripe down it. And the seeker has a smaller tail sort of in between, you might say, with just a thin black stripe down it. It's the easiest way, really. This tree here is a nice tree, the oak tree. This is a champion tree, this one. So same again as I was saying about the epiphytes, things that grow on other things. An oak tree of this size can potentially support sort of 2,000 other life forms, invertebrates, birds, small mammals, all the different plant life. And they say a sort of a rule of thumb is that an oak tree will live will sort of, well, they say it will grow for 300 years, live for 300 years, and then die for 300 years. So typically sort of a 900-year lifespan. As you can see from this one, it does look like it's starting to decay and rot. It's dropped a few big limbs. So, I mean, you could sort of estimate about 700 years old, maybe something like that. Fantastic tree. This one, we think, is actually a hybrid oak between a sessile oak, which favours these conditions, and an English oak, which is the peduncular oak. The main reason that we believe it's a hybrid is because it seems to be sterile. We've never ever found an acorn anywhere under this tree, and that is indicative of a hybrid. So, and it's not uncommon, they do hybridize. This might be one of those hybrids.
Leaving the Jintai Way, but still on the Kintai Way, of course, your climb is coming to an end soon, and you'll walk through some easy forestry tracks before you take a right turn through young planted forestry, taking you down into the glen of Iffordale Burn. The track brings you to another excellent place for a short detour into Saddle to see Saddle Abbey, Saddle Castle, and Saddle Bay. I met up with Dominic Ryan again and his collie dog Star to take a little bit of a detour along Saddle Bay.
We could talk about the weather. Everyone talks about the weather. So let's find a new track.
So Saddle Bay is a beautiful bay with views. Well, I was going to say lovely views across to nowhere at the moment because it is very misty.
On a good day, there should be Ailsa Craig,
which is where the curling stones come from.
Indeed.
And another reason to walk down to Saddle Bay is you've got Saddle Castle there, of course, but you've also have one of the Anthony Gormley figures. So about 10 years ago, there were all those Anthony Gormley figures on the top of buildings in London and placed around the country. And Saddle Bay was able to keep theirs.
I get what?
Oh,
it's okay. It's okay. I know.
Oh, did she headbutt you?
Hey.
Was there a
It was
punk?
A loving headbutt, wasn't it? I could hear it.
It was a collision. The dogs have collided.
Oh, brats on.
Oh, dear. Star was playing around with her lead, and Jed was just trundling along in his usual blind sense, and heads collided. Everybody's fine.
From Saddle, a long but easy stretch, much of it on forestry track, brings you across to Lossaloch, which is famous in the area for trout fishing. Coming off the tracks around Lossa, you're on a small single track road, which is low in traffic, but of course do take care. From this road section, you'll get your first glimpse over to the finishing point, Macrahanish. Follow the small road and continue on when it joins the A83 to bring you into Campbelltown, where you'll find plenty of accommodation options, shops, cafes, two supermarkets, along with the all-important public toilets. There's also a splendid cinema and a heritage centre, more about which in the next episode. A special thank you to Strange Crazy for use of their music throughout this podcast.